Good morning, and welcome to Unity Church. And if you can just, you have permission to do this during the words of welcome, okay? Welcome on this spring Minnesota morning, on this glorious Mother's Day, with the lilacs drenched in rainy dew, to Teacher Appreciation Sunday, to a Sunday where we gather to remember the nurturers in our community. I want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are here for the first time. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you find and keep your balance, a place which nourishes you and inspires you to lead a loving life of integrity, service, and joy. I'd like to call your attention, as we do each week, to This Week at Unity, the insert in our order of service, which seeks to inform you of activities occurring in the coming weeks and to act as a roadmap to deeper involvement here at Unity. This week, Wellspring Wednesday, our special programming on Wednesday, will feature performance artist Ocean Kay, who will present I Voted for Gummy Bears. This presentation promises to be compelling and provocative, and we hope you will consider attending. Every Wednesday, we offer a wide array of programming for adults, youth, and children, a wonderful dinner, and a brief intergenerational worship service. You only need to sign up for the dinner portion of the evening, and you can do so at the Wellspring Wednesday table in the parish hall at the conclusion of the service. Following the service this morning, we hope you'll join us for refreshments in the parish hall. There you can see new friends and old, peruse the excellent book stall, and visit the many information tables. If you are interested in receiving more information about the church or in becoming a member, please visit the welcome table in the parish hall. Next week, we will celebrate our annual flower communion and the dedication of our older children. Rob and I will be joined by Worship Associate Bev Heidinger as we tell the story of the martyrdom of Norbert Chopik and celebrate our sure blossoming. Carrie and I would like to greet you at the conclusion of the service at the Portland Avenue doors. And once again, welcome to Unity Church. Thank you.
The Lanyard, a poem by Billy Collins. The other day, I was ricocheting slowly off the blue walls of this room, moving as if underwater from typewriter to piano, from bookshelf to an envelope lying on the floor, when I found myself in the L section of the dictionary, where my eyes fell upon the word lanyard. No cookie nibbled by a French novelist could send one more suddenly into the past, a past where I sat at a workbench, at a camp by a deep Adirondack lake, learning how to braid long, thin plastic strips into a lanyard, a gift for my mother. I had never seen anyone use a lanyard, or wear one, if that's what one did with them, but that did not keep me from crossing strand over strand again and again until I had made a boxy red and white lanyard for my mother. She gave me life and milk from her breasts, and I gave her a lanyard. She nursed me in many a sick room, lifted spoons of medicine to my lips, laid cold face cloths on my forehead, and then led me out into the airy light and taught me to walk and swim. And I, in turn, presented her with a lanyard. "Here are thousands of meals," she said. "And here is clothing and a good education. And here's your lanyard," I replied, which I made with a little help from a counselor. "Here is a breathing body and a beating heart, strong legs, bones, and teeth, and two clear eyes to read the world," she whispered. "And here," I said, "is the lanyard I made at camp. And here, I wish to say to her now, is a smaller gift, not the worn truth that you can never repay your mother, but the rueful admission that when she took the two-tone lanyard from my hand, I was as sure as a boy could be that this useless, worthless thing I wove out of boredom would be enough to make us even. Here, in the company of mothers and children, the company of teachers and learners, let us be present to one another. Have you brought with you your hunger, that deepest hunger, the elusive one? Have you brought with you an openness to the possibility that that hunger might be satisfied? Have you brought with you the rueful admission that there has in your life been love and care that you can never repay? With a little help from each other, we can be something worthy of the gifts given us by our mothers, by our teachers, the gifts given us by life. Come, let us worship together.
Thank you.
Will you read with me in unison out of the back of your hymnal number 626, Life Again? Out of the dusk, a shadow, then a spark. Out of the cloud, a silence, then a lark. Out of the heart, a rupture, then a pain. Out of the dead, cold ashes, life again. Thank you. Every Sunday when we gather for worship, we pause for a few moments to hold in the embrace of this loving community those whose unfolding life stories are particularly rich with joy or heavy with sorrow. I'll begin this sharing, and following my words, you are invited to offer the names of those you are holding in your heart to bring into the sanctity of this sacred hour. We hold in our prayers all those who are living with grief over the loss of a loved one. This week, we especially call to mind Carol and Denny Miller and other members of their family as they grieve over the sudden death of Carol's cousin, Laura Johnson. Laura was involved in a one-car accident this past week. We hold the Congregation of All Souls Tulsa in our prayers as they grieve over the death of Sienna Lavenhar, who died suddenly at the age of 3 a week ago. A service was held for her on Friday, and Rob was one of the participants. We hold in our thoughts and prayers all those people who are recovering from recent illnesses, injuries, and health problems. We hold in our thoughts Vicki Russ, sister of Colin Rust, who has just been diagnosed with breast cancer, and she will have surgery this coming week. We also remember Anne, who is back in the hospital facing further medical challenges. We send our thoughts and prayers to those recovering from recent surgeries. Pat Argyros is recovering from foot surgery this past week. She is residing at a rehab center, the New Harmony Care Facility. And we hold in our thoughts Michael Keyes recovering from recent surgery. And we continue to hold in our prayers Frida Keel, granddaughter of Harry and Teresa Wernicke, who was involved in a serious motorcycle accident. And Frida has had 3 surgeries this past week. We remember those people struggling with disease and chronic illness. And we celebrate, along with half-sister Tori Ruckles, over the recent birth of Vincent Jean Hickenbottom. We hold in our prayers all our brothers and sisters around the globe suffering from poverty of spirit, of possibility, those whose lives are filled with uncertainty due to violence, hardship, and war. May we live to see a day when their lives are filled with peace and the promise of abiding freedom. And now I invite you to share the names of those people you would like to celebrate, memorialize, or bring into the embrace of this caring community. For the names which have been spoken and the names which remain in the silent sanctuary of our hearts, may we be forever grateful for the tapestry we weave together. And now will you join with me in a moment of prayer and meditation? O eternal spirit of life, be with us in this cold and dreary day. Help us remember that spring will return in the coming days. May we be steadfast in our willingness and our ability to open our hearts to all that is, to the pain and tragedy of life, to the joy and bounty that exists alongside. May we find hearts and souls large enough to contain all that is in our lives. And may we be encouraged every day to see the truth in ever sharper focus, our love in ever more refined compassion, and may we be present in this moment. May it be so, and amen.
At this time, I'd like to invite the kids of the church to come forward up to the chancel with me here. I don't have a story for you today. I have a big job. So if you would come up and help me, here's what I need you to do. As you come up, hi again. I need you to, if you would please, come and take one flower. And then I need you to sit on the steps. And instead of looking at me today, I want you to sit on the steps and look out. And it can be any flower, doesn't matter which flower. Great. Here, let me take this tray here. And we have to be really careful because guess who knocked over about 20 of these flowers this morning? Me. Okay. So take one flower and then just hold it quietly in your lap, and then I want you to sit on the steps and I want you to look out because we have a little bit of work to do today. Today is the last day of Sunday school. Whoa, that's a big deal. And so that means that today is our Teacher Appreciation Sunday. Raise your hand if you had a Sunday school teacher. Did anybody have a Sunday school teacher? Everybody had a Sunday school teacher. And today is the day when we appreciate them. Now, I have a question for you. What are some things that we do for people when we want to show, what are some things that we do when we want to show that we appreciate somebody? What's something we do? We give them flowers. What's something else we could do, Jacob? We send them a card. What's something else you can do when you want to show them you appreciate them? Can you think of anything? You could give them a present. What else could you do? You could give them money. How about this? What are some words that you should say? What are some words that you should say when somebody has done something kind and loving? Cole, what should we say? We should say thank you. What are some things when people have done loving things? What's something we can do with our arms? We can give people a hug, right? In just a little bit, you're going to have a chance to do lots of those different things. This is our moment to say thank you to our teachers. And I want you to look out in the congregation, because right now what I'd like is for the people who have volunteered in the RE program this year to please stand. Those of you who have worked in the nursery, those of you who have taken part in chapel, those of you who have taught spirit play or workshop rotation, OWL, coming of age, 7th and 8th grade, Tower Club, look out there. Those are our teachers. Teachers, the call went out. Here I am, you said. Here are my two hands. Here is my beating heart. Here are a handful of moments of my life, my precious Sunday mornings. Here is my love and my care for these children. I will be present to them, you said. Songs have been sung, prayers have been spoken, and you said, here I am. And here, we'd like to say, is a potted flower.
In a Dixie cup.
Here is a potted flower in a Dixie cup. And now, children, what I would love for you to do is I would love you to find a teacher out there. It can be any teacher. It can be any teacher. I see teachers out there who aren't standing right now. It's making me sad. Teachers, if you're out there and you're not standing, it's magic. I can't see way back there, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out and I want you to find a teacher and give them a flower, or maybe two flowers if we have lots of flowers. I want you to give them a hug and say thank you. And, oh, thank you, sweetheart. And here I'd like to say is a smaller gift. The worn truth that while you can never thank your teachers, the kids and I are convinced that the love in our hearts and the flowers in these Dixie cups are enough to make us even. Now, teachers, we're going to take, thank you so much. We're going to take our children downstairs to the yellow hallway to enjoy some activities together as we say goodbye. Oh, do we have, we'll have lots of teachers at 11 o'clock. So, you guys, this is my chance to say goodbye to you. I might see you over the summer, I might see you next Sunday, but I will miss you and I will hold you in my heart. And now you can, if teachers would rise, you can head downstairs to do some fun things in the yellow hallway. Let's sing them out, shall we?
Go now in peace, may the Spirit of all.
And now for something a little different. If you could see the feast that you are, feast for the soul, yes, but also feast for the eye. The song goes, has anyone ever told you that you are anything less than beautiful? And the culture answers back, yeah. Yeah, as in, could you really be that dumb to ask that question of me? My friends, this morning at the service at 11 o'clock, we will acknowledge our high school seniors in the congregation who are graduating this spring. Many of them are going on to college. Some are taking a year off for discernment. Some are finding jobs here or in other communities. The challenges they face are varied and complex. And the challenge that I want to lift up this morning is body image and physical appearance. And I look out and I see beautiful people. I see beautiful people at every person I see. But I would wager, however, that most of you do not feel beautiful when you look into the mirror. And the latest statistics seem to echo your dissatisfaction and discomfort. It is claimed that 90% of American women and 75% of men say that they are dissatisfied with their bodies and their physical appearance. Why do I keep harping on this subject? Why are we wrestling, it seems, endlessly with the theme of appetite and hunger in this season of such beauty? Why do I keep reading endless accounts of young women and men who are plagued by various eating disorders? As Rob says as he sees me devour yet another book, don't you know enough about this subject? And I do. I know about it as a dieter, as a person who is generally overweight, except when I'm pregnant, as a mother, as a close friend of a bulimic woman, and as a minister who witnesses to the pain that so many of us suffer around our bodies and our physical appearances. In the compelling book, Appetite, which I mentioned a few weeks ago before, Carolyn Knapp chronicles her own descent into anorexia, and she lived on the same diet every day. Breakfast was a small cup of yogurt and half a bagel. Lunch was half a cup of cottage cheese, and dinner was an apple and a very small cube of cheese. It took her most evenings over an hour and a half to ritually eat her apple and cheese. And she said that one of the startling things was as she got thinner, she got more and more compliments about her appearance. When her looks mimicked a concentration camp survivor, when she weighed in at 83 pounds, she was still the recipient of numerous compliments. Her friends envied her for her control and her looks. With the help of the media and the beauty industry and the multi-billion dollar dieting industry, we have lost sight of what real health means and what real beauty looks like. The average American woman weighs 140 pounds and she is 5'4". The average model weighs 117 and is considerably taller. But that is our image of who we should be. We are constantly exposed to women and men who are made to look even more beautiful than they are. They are attractive, but they are also generally extremely thin. And at the same time, our food industry is serving larger and larger portions. And this is especially true in fast food restaurants. Though thinness is a high value, more and more Americans are overweight. And I know that our appetites are difficult to satisfy.